Hello and welcome to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Oberle, senior writer at VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com. And that's Mark Craig, Vikings writer, NFL insider for the Star Tribune and the StarTribune.com. And he's also a Hall of Fame and Players of the Year voter. So we're going to get into that at some point. Not yet. That's not on the agenda today, but we got to start asking Mark, who he voted for, because I think he voted for the wrong coach of the year, but that's okay.
well, let's put it this way. If the deadline had been extended a week, I probably would have changed.
I bet you would have. That was quite – we'll talk about that later, and you guys can figure out what we're talking about. Anyway, we'll start off with some Vikings news, whatever's going on in Vikings camp before we delve into the playoffs. But the biggest thing online and everywhere and anybody's discussing is the old quarterback situation. You know, the fan base is feverish for getting a quarterback of the future, especially after looking around and seeing what's happening in Green Bay, what potentially could be happening in Chicago, and it's already there in Detroit. So but they got Kirk Cousins that's sitting out there. He's actually still under contract. It's going to end soon. But, there's a couple different fields of thought. There's, you know, sign him for a couple years, draft a quarterback of the future, or let him go, get a quarterback of the future and suck for a while. I don't know. Mark, I know you have some thoughts on this. Can you set us all straight? What should they do with this position? What are they gonna do?
We're gonna kick the Kirk horse again. Let's go.
Absolutely, we want to sell. Podcast dollars
again. It's like, you know, it's the just as a player, you know, you want Kirk. I mean, there's no question you want Kirk. It's the financials. That's been the case since he came here. It's just, you know, was he worth bringing in when he got here? But what is he going to do to the defense? 2019 was the last kind of crack that Zimmer had at keeping his defense intact with a quarterback that costs that much. They go to New Orleans, they upset the Saints, but then they go to San Francisco and they're out of gas and they get killed. So it's just that never-ending question. You know, no matter what they do, whether they bring Kirk back or they let him go, you have and get like a next year's Baker Mayfield or 2021 Geno Smith, that guy that you come in for on the cheap, he catches lightning in a bottle and you ride with the hot hand. You have to have a quarterback of the future. There's no more of this, well, we tried, do we do this? Got to get your guy that's either that's in place behind Kirk or is in place behind a cheap Ryan Tannehill type player and have a plan for beyond this year.
You know, you sent me over that note last night and it's an interesting thing, you know, to look at. I mean, we're watching Baker Mayfield on Monday Night Football, getting his team to the next round. And in fact, Baker Mayfield now has two playoff wins and Kirk only has one. It's a solid plan that I hadn't really considered as much. I saw, you know, I've been advocating, and certainly if you go to last week, last week's podcast, you'll find out what I thought. But that you keep Kirk for a couple years, you draft this, you do whatever you can to draft a quarterback, let Kirk mentor him like they've done in Green Bay with Favre didn't really mentor Rodgers, but I don't know if Rodgers mentored this guy, but the guy learned. Is he sitting there watching, you know? And I think Kirk would be the kind of guy who would bring him his replacement up to speed. He seems more of a generous spirit than those other two dudes I mentioned. But here's, you know, if you do what you're saying, Mark, I mean, it's a really interesting possibility to me. If there's a guy out there like that, I mean, that you can get to just hold the place until this guy, you know, maybe in a year or so is ready. And then it depends on who that is. There's one quarterback, I think Penix, who's like 24. And then there's McCarthy, who's 22. That might, you know, he's even younger than that. And so that depends on how long you have to sit him. But are there quarterbacks out there that would do that? I mean, you know, they're going to have to give Baker Mayfield for more money. So he's not going to be around. And I mean, do you see other – I mean, I'm not sure I want to get Joe Flacco to help us get to the next place.
Well, I mean, there's also the dead money with Kirk that's involved as well. You know, like one of the amazing things that what the Packers have done is they – you know, they make the playoffs, but they win a playoff game as a 7 seed. And by the way, you know, 2-5 don't tank. So next year, 2-5, I'm going to say it again. Don't tank. Just keep swinging in this league. But they did that with $40 million of their salary cap was designated to Aaron Rodgers this year. So, yeah. You know, Kirk has a $28.5 million dead cap that's going to come. If they get rid of Kirk and they send him on his way, he's still going to cost $28 million on your
team.
So that is a reason. That is a very good reason to, you know, by extending him, you would lower that $28.5 million, but it's that can that's down the road. And there, at some point, you know, the ideally you would like to say, okay, Kirk signed him for 2 years. You know, they go to the NFC Championship game this year. They win the Super Bowl. Kirk retires and you know, you're done with him. But you have to prepare for the fact that if you go ahead and do this, what they've been doing for seems like several times now, obviously, they keep doing this. But at some point, you got to pay the Kirk Piper. So if you do keep Kirk and you extend him for 2 years, 3 years, you bring his cap number down. You have to have, to me, you absolutely have to come out of that first round with a quarterback. And I don't always say that because I'm like, well, it might not fall right. It might not do this, might not do that. But, you know, you look around them and people are whizzing by them and the quarterbacks are whizzing by them. And the teams, you know, in the division are going past them. This has to be, if you get Kirk, it's okay. Kirk's replacement is this guy for, you know, and then, it's not necessarily it's up to Kirk to bring him along, although Kirk, I think, would be extremely good in that regard. It's this the guy that they hired as the offensive genius and the young modern coach and the guy who played quarterback. He gets him up to speed and works with him in addition to, you know, hopefully, you know, Kirk winning. So, I do feel like, you know, when you figure in and you factor in that $28.5 million that he's going to count either way,
mm-hmm.
you are sort of like, I think committed instead of like paying Kirk $28.5 million, paying Ryan Tannehill $5 million, and then not having Kirk, obviously, and then having like a Jaren Hall. You know, that's not the answer.
No question about it. They have to draft somebody young. They I think any way we look at it, they got to get a quarterback of the future in this draft. At least take a swing at it. You know, whether it's, you know, there's like six of them they say are out there. And there's flaws with everyone, of course, or there's reasons why, but I mean, you know, you have to be able to, bank on your ability to develop a quarterback. And I know that Kevin O'Connell is, I'm going to say he's a quarterback whisperer, but he's a quarterback developer and as a former quarterback in this league himself. So, you got to know those guys, Kwesi and O'Connell both want to do this. When they took over a team, they said they want to, at some point, get their guy and start moving forward with them. Clearly, they don't have him yet. And maybe they found out this early this year and part of, you know, all last year that Kirk was good enough for a while. So I don't know. What, given that, you know, you kind of laid out what you think they should do. What do you think they will do? What do you know about these guys? And I mean, Kwesi's got a quick trigger when he wants to trade. I mean, he should be able to fashion something, even though we'll probably give up our rest of our future if he trades up. But what do you think they'll do?
You know, and this is what they're wrestling with as well. They're just doing it with more informed conversation. They're dealing with the same things that we're talking about, which is why Kirk didn't get extended last year. They're wrestling with at what point do we, you know, we got to like, we know that it's going to come due. We know that there's going to be a situation where, you know, we may have a bunch of dead cap money, but as they get, you know, farther down the road and you know, they join the rest of the world where, hey, you know, our jobs could depend on this. You know, you only get a honeymoon for so long, and in the NFL, it might not even be a full season. So, you know, you get to year three, even though the Wilfs are very patient, and they're not going to fire these guys anytime soon. Well, the hot seat becomes hot, you know, because you just look around the league. Belichick's gone, you know, looking for a new job. Mike Tomlin is now the most tenured guy, but he's rumored to be, you know, might not be coming back. It's like, I mean, Mike Tomlin, I think, should be getting a raise for what he did this year. Yeah. Now we're talking about he might not come back. You know, I think what they're going to do is they're probably going to extend Kirk. They're going to get that cap number down. They're going to try and fill some of these holes with him having a lower cap number. And then I think they're going to try to move heaven and earth to get a guy in place to be the next guy. And I don't blame them for swinging on Jaren Hall last year. If you don't have a quarterback of the future, I think it's wise to at some point every year to take a swing on a guy.
Yep.
You know, and Nick Mullins, you know, that's $2 million you save right there. Cause I you know, I'd be done with him. You know, Jaren Hall, you keep on the team, you have him compete as a backup, hopefully with a guy that you get in the first round. But no, it's time. It's time that, especially if they pull the trigger on Kirk for one more try, his replacement has to be in place. Cause now he's going to be 36 years old. He's coming off an injury. You know, he has not proven that he can be the guy. I was a little disappointed. You know, for me, quarterback whisperer, I still think O'Connell is a good coach, good play caller, good with quarterbacks, but I'm disappointed in how he had no answer for that initial wave that came after Josh Dobbs was the talk of the league, you know, did some great things, and then he disappeared. And then when I asked about it, like at the very end of the season, I said, you know, just basically, you know, what was the deal with Josh Dobbs? And his explanation was, well, like a lot of things on our team, you put things on tape and then the other team takes away stuff. And that's like, you know, that happens with everybody. And
sounds like an excuse
for him not to, you know, for him not to have a counter move with a guy that was, you know, we killed forests full of trees, explaining how smart he was. Maybe they tried too much, or I, you know, that was kind of a knock against. That is a ding on O'Connell's reputation, in my view, is that he didn't have that. In the playoffs for them, you know, like Cleveland, the playoffs were there for the taking. You just had to have a couple moves, a couple plays here and there, and you have 9 wins instead of 7 wins. And O'Connell could have made a difference, I think, in some of that. So, you know, that's to me, I still trust him with the future as the quarterback position, but he had a chance to do something really special, and he didn't do it.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing plays into another. I mean, last year they got by with the skin of their teeth and won all these one-score games, and this year they didn't win them. And now some people can say it's the law of averages, but for me, I think it's because Kirk Cousins was sitting in a cast running around on a scooter because – he was there for all those one score games last year that they won. He, you know, he didn't win them all by himself, but he won a share of them, and he's got to get credit for that. And he's gone this year, and they don't win a lot of them. So it's, you know, some of them he lost early in the year, but I'll say it again. I said it last week. I think if he played the whole year, we'd be talking differently about the Packers and their God-given team. That's made the playoffs and won a game, you know, because they wouldn't have made the playoffs. The Vikings probably would have, but that's neither here nor there. We mentioned trading up. Well, here's another thing that you find online people talk about, and Mark, I just can't believe this. You probably don't even want to bring it up, but maybe there's something there. People are talking about Justin Jefferson trade, and I'll just say, just shoot me now. This is from Charlie Walters in the St. Paul Pioneer Press. There could be a better chance of Jefferson, 24, getting traded than anybody's saying, Pioneer Press columnist Charlie Walters wrote on January 13th. That's because it doesn't make sense to pay the NFL's best receiver the money he wants, expected to be in at least $150 million over 5 years, on a team that's not expected to be seriously competitive for several more years. Does this have legs? Anybody that's whistling this idea, wouldn't they just get escorted right out of the TCO Performance Center?
Well, I mean, they had their opportunity to extend him last year. It didn't work out. So the two sides are, you know, I guess I give Jefferson credit for continuing to practice, continuing to play. But, you know, they had an opportunity to the both sides to meet. Now, if they still can't work out a deal, if they still can't make it work, and he's like 19, because they did that that fifth year, I think, or whatever it was. I think he's $19 million against the cap. So, you know, that's a huge, you know, you're counting on extending him and having that cap number come down initially. If you can't do that, and, you know, I'm not saying nothing in this league surprises me. Nothing surprises me. I don't think he will be traded. I don't buy the argument that they, you know, you can't do it because you won't be good for several years. That doesn't exist in the NFL. If you, you know, we're going on 34 straight years of at least four teams that are new that didn't make it the previous year that make it this year. We're on a streak of, like, Houston went from worst to first in their division.
Yeah.
There were four new division winners this year. Houston was, for the 19th time out of 21 seasons, a team went from worst in the division to first in their division. So it happens. If you're looking at a long, I mean, in this whole labeling of, is it a competitive rebuild? Is it a super competitive rebuild? Is it, you know, a tear down to the studs? It's just teams rebuild every year. And the teams that don't have the, you know, bigger rebuild are the ones that have Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, stuff like that. But even those teams are susceptible to having slumps and getting bounced out of the playoffs. And now we're talking about Nick Sirianni maybe getting fired.
Yeah.
Good Lord. So this whole, like, it's going to take 5 years. If it takes you 5 years, then you got the wrong guy.
Yeah, that's a great point. The biggest fear for me as I'm watching the playoffs and seeing the Packers and the Lions and knowing that the bloody Chicago Bears have a boatload of picks, two first rounders that they could easily turn into a bunch more if they traded away that overall number one pick, is in just a, you know, if they were 13-4 last year, the Vikings, in just a year, they're bottom dwellers. You know, I would conjecture as they ended the season, they're the worst team in the NFC North. And you got the Packers are the youngest team to make the playoffs in NFL history, if you can freaking believe that. You know, they're the youngest team in the league, certainly make, but in league history to make it, which is incredible. The Lions look very good, and they look like they're going to be good for a while. I mean, they've drafted well. They've had a lot of draft picks, you know, that Vikings have helped them out a little bit with, and they're up there. And the Bears are going to be. You know, Patrick Royce was on with one of your colleagues, Michael Rand, talking about how far they are behind. How far do you think, you know, just on the tail of what you just said, how far have they dropped?
I don't know. I don't know that I call them the worst team in the division, but I call them, they have the worst situation so it's up to the guys that they're trusting to steer the ship to get out of this, because they still got a ton of talent, but there's a lot of guys that are, the contracts are up that you want to resign. You got your quarterback situation is up in the air. I mean, in Chicago, your quarterback situation might be up in the air, but your choices are, well, do we ride with the guy we took in the first round 3 years ago, or do we, like, scrap it and go with the number one overall pick? I mean, assuming you know what you have trust in your ability to pick players, you know, and you pick the next C.J. Stroud, you're set. I mean, Houston is set now for 10 years. Pop could be. If you get a good coach and you get a quarterback that looks like that as a rookie, my God. Granted, things could, it can flip-flop in this league, but they got a great situation going. That could be Chicago next year.
Yeah.
And Chicago has not only, do they have you have Green Bay, who has the quarterback that's going to only be – I think he's going to probably get more money this offseason, but that's going to – his cap is like $12 million. And, they're coming out from underneath the dead money with Aaron Rodgers. So they're probably on better financial footing than, say, the Vikings. Detroit – and, again, it's not just a quarterback. Like, Detroit – I look at Detroit, and I don't say, well, they're great because – they're really good right now because they have Jared Goff.
No.
If Jared Goff was standing behind, Garrett Bradbury, Reisner, and Ed Ingram, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing in Detroit. He wouldn't. So Detroit's strength to me is their strength, their power, their ability to like, hey, we need a yard. We're going to, you know, punch you in the face. We're going to get a yard. We need this quarterback who can't, who's slower than Joe Oberle and Mark Craig combined. We need to protect him, and they do. So that's their, you know, the Vikings need that. And one of the amazing things about like what Tampa Bay did this year with Baker Mayfield is they had no running game. Yeah. They were 32nd in the league in average per game, per yards, per carry. So there's a lot more than just what's going on with the quarterback. But I would say, yes, the Vikings, they got a lot of ground to make up. And but they can. And they can make it up because they got Justin Jefferson. They got Addison. They, you know, I think Chandler could be a player that if you get a really powerful line in front of you, could be a difference maker. TJ Hawkins, and they have talent. They don't need to sit there and get kicked in the rear end for the next 3 years.
But the when you look, you know, when you say that, and you look at what the Packers are doing, they're throwing to a bunch of no-name receivers.
They're making a name for themselves, though.
Exactly. So you don't, maybe you don't need all those Justin Jeffersons. I mean, to eat up a 30-year. Your cap. Maybe trading him is not the worst idea because it'll turn around potentially with the trade you get, turn around your season pretty quickly. I don't want it to happen. I love watching him. Finally on board that he's the best receiver in the league, Mark, just kidding. And so I guess I want to ask you, how crucial is this offseason for the Vikings, and is Kwesi on the hot seat?
I mean, it's vital. I mean, they can't let's put it this way. With Detroit drafting in the last 3 years, I think we talked about it last week, six of their defensive starters. And in two of those years, it's when Kwesi was here. So you got 2 years comparisons of like the what they're putting together in Detroit with their drafts. You can't come out with, hey, we're going to take Lewis Cine and Andrew Booth and Brian Asamoah. You keep putting those as your top three defensive picks year after year after year, you're gonna be what Detroit was for 30 years.
Yeah.
Or most of those 30 years. So yeah, hot seat, he would be on my hot seat, but the Wilfs have a they're not Pittsburgh patient. They're not New England. New England really didn't have to be patient for 24 years.
Right.
Except for the last three. So they're very patient people. They give people plenty of time. Spielman, Zim, I like both guys. Consider them, a friend. But, it was time for them to go because they had a lot of time together. I think these guys will get more time, but I don't. He's not on the Wilfs hot seat yet. I wouldn't think, but yeah. it gets closer if they keep trending in the direction that they're going, yes, they'll be on the hot seat. And unfortunately, I think O'Connell would be right there with him. The way I interpret it, the way I see it, I see Kwesi on more pressure on Kwesi right now than I see on O'Connell.
Yeah, you mentioned Zimmer. I just heard something yesterday I thought was interesting. He's made rumblings that he wants to get back into coaching. And someone said, hey, how about Belichick in Dallas with Zimmer as his defensive coordinator? How about that? That might be.
An interesting duo to see together.
Yeah, but all right. On that note, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some more stuff with the Vikings in the playoffs. And so come on back to Vikings Territory Breakdown. All right, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, you referenced it last segment about boy would it be nice to, do they have a nice line in Detroit for Jared Goff to roll behind. And I saw a play, I think I even texted you, I said, yeah, right, Mark, if you put pressure on the guy, they're gonna get to him. He just threw one just to the wind, when he was getting pressured. So when he gets pressured, he does some stuff. So yeah, it just puts the importance of the line on how far well your offense does. I mean, none of those quarterbacks after Kirk got great line play. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. And That certainly affected how they played. So let's, why don't we take a look as a position unit, the offensive line, and how you think they did, and maybe how you think they're situated going forward, because that's really going to be important for this team going forward, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Goff is no better than Kirk Cousins. In fact, Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback, I think, than Jared Goff. But it's what's around you. It's neither one of them are going to be able to hide an offensive line that can't protect or can't run the ball. You know, the thing I look at when you look at the playoffs is, like, you don't have to be a team that runs the ball like the, you know, like Earl Campbell and the Oilers in the 70s. You just have to be efficient, and you have to take the pressure off your quarterback. And so many of those teams do that, except Tampa Bay couldn't do it this year. But that's what you need. And it all starts – I think everything starts with the offensive line. It affects, you know, the quarterback. It affects the defense. It affects everything. And you look what Tunsil did in Houston to Miles. Miles Garrett's going to be the defensive player of the year probably. And, you know, he was kind of rendered, you know, null and void by their left tackle. A lot of that game. So, yeah, it's the offensive line. You know, we spent a lot of when they needed tackles, we spent year after year after year talking about the offensive line. We don't do that anymore because we feel like, well, they got Darisaw, who's a really good player. They got Brian O'Neill, who's a really good player. But there's still three guys in there that just aren't, the dominant type player that you see in Detroit, Philadelphia, before they fell off the face of the earth this year. Some of these other teams that had, you know, these great, really, really, really good offensive lines. So that, you know, in addition to getting the quarterback situation straight and everything else, be looking for, you know, what can you do to impact the interior of that offensive line?
You know, I would say that, O'Neill, coming off the Achilles injury, had at best an up and down season. He had some injuries this year, and he just did not perform well. And for Darisaw, for all the praise he gets, and deservedly so, he didn't have his best season. Would you say, Mark? Well, break those two guys down and tell me what you thought of our two tackles.
Well, you know, and O'Neill got his big contract last year, I think it was. Darisaw is heading for his big contract. I think Darisaw, we're going to find out that Darisaw was playing with some injuries or something toward the end of the year. He was, he was average at the end of the year, and his bar should be excellence. His bar should be a pro, all pro first team. He has that ability. If the guy in San Francisco ever retires and lets other people get pro, all pro, but you know, the guy in Dallas is really good. But Darisaw, he can be like that. But I think there was something going on with him health wise because he was not the same player, especially toward the end. When they fell apart and 1-5 down the stretch or whatever it was, O'Neill. There were some alarming games for O'Neill. If you're an O'Neill fan or a Vikings fan, I would hope it is him coming back from this or him playing through some things. And I think he did reveal that he had a broken bone in his foot in one of those later games, but. His performance against when the Bears went out and got at the trade deadline, got Sweat, the edge rusher, and he just schooled Brian O'Neill in that game. That's how he got hurt his ankle, I think, was trying to anchor against this guy he couldn't stop. But you know, you don't need to go get out and get new tackles. But I think if you need an overall, the line is only, you know, the oldest cliche is it's only good as its weakest link. Well, the Vikings have for years now always had a one weak link. They've been able to last year, you know, do well enough to get to the playoffs. You get to the playoffs and you need your offensive line to take pressure off Kirk and the situation. And it's not there. You know, there's so many times where, you know, boy, if this team could have just turned around and just, you know, controlled the game with the running game, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't. The first Detroit game, they ran 11 times for 17 yards and lost a one score game. So, you know, until they get an offensive line, it's
what
not going to matter.
let's move into the interior a little bit. You know, do you think that did you like the move on away from Cleveland and to Risner? I thought Risner was decent. I thought he's got a little bit of the nasty in him. I think he likes being here. I don't know what he would cost to bring back, but did you like enough of what you saw him to bring him back?
Well, I would be looking for something better. I like Risner. I think he was I'd like to see them get to a situation where in week 4 or 6 or whatever it was, you're going, oh my God, we need a guard. Well, who can we get? Oh, this guy's on Twitter and we know he's available. Now, I'm not saying that's how they found him, but enough of this, like, well, you know, we need a guard, and it's 4 weeks, it's a month into the season, and we get this guy, and he's okay. That's pretty good. Let's start building this team when it needs to be built through the draft. You know,
that's a very good point. I mean, Kwesi does really good midseason. I mean, you got Risner, he got Cam Akers before he went down. He got Hockenson last year midseason, but it's his drafts that are just a little more troublesome.
And Ed Ingram was until the end of this year was durable and played every snap as a rookie. Played, I think, every snap up until toward the end of this year.
Yeah, backup.
To me, look to upgrade it. Garrett Bradbury is. We're not talking about him as much as we used to, but you know, if there's opportunities to upgrade. It's they couldn't do all the things that O'Connell wanted to do, be efficient running the game. You know, you go out and get a blocking tight end and you spin the Dalvin Cook. Not that I said Dalvin Cook should have come back. I think he was washed up. But you spin the Madison becoming a starter as he's a guy that can get you yards on short, third and short, whatever. None of that mattered because they didn't have the offensive line to do what he's talking about. So I don't know how you do it. If I had the answer, I would be.
That's just what I was going to say. You can't replace all three of those guys next year and do anything else you want to do, unless you trade Jefferson. You know,
you've got to be. They just got to start hitting.
Yeah,
and they're missing. They're missing so many picks. They're missing so many opportunities.
They're hurting us for a couple
of years. Last year, they had no money. Oh my God, we can make maybe one impact move.
Yeah,
it's Marcus Davenport.
Hmm.
Who, by the way, $13 million is what it cost to get him, but they spread that over. I don't know how it works, but he's going to count $6.8 million against this year's 24 cap because that's just how it was structured or whatever. So, and he's not. My God, he better not be coming back. But
he wasn't here.
yeah, that's right. You have to have been here to. He's the first guy to play for a team virtually.
So. I tell you, you're right. That hits so well. As much as I'm praising his other in-season pickups, that free agents move was turned out to be the biggest bust as this team has ever had.
And they can hit. You know, it's not like they're not like Kwesi's not like a modern Major League Baseball player where he strikes out every single time, but he's striking out 4 out of 5.
Especially in the draft, it's so important. You made that point. You're exactly right. You know, they're
and Addison is that's a really good pick.
Addison's word is he had to be talked into it.
Whatever. However they work it, I hope he's not in a position where he's lording over them and not. His selling point was that he could take everybody's opinions and all this stuff. So. I don't see him as this, Bill Polian type or
that's a good point.
Like Bill Belichick or, someone that's, I'm going to take this player. I think that he tries to build a consensus. But getting Ivan Pace was a good deal. But you're missing too many times in order. You just can't keep up with whenever you get people in Detroit and Green Bay and Chicago that are knowing what they're doing. You're just going to get lapped.
You're exactly right. Getting Ivan Pace last year, undrafted after the draft is over, should have been icing on the cake. But when, in fact, he became such an integral part of this, it's almost because you miss so many other things in the draft. It's like, thank God we got him instead of, oh, man, what a great extra pick that was,
And it's as good as he was, they were in a situation where, it's like, hey, yeah, you're right. It's like we're lucky we have a guy that nobody else wanted who could actually present himself as an NFL caliber player, because then we wouldn't have had anything. You know, we would have Asamoah or whatever. But
yeah, it's a tough deal. It is crucial. It is important. It is a big deal. And you know, the more I look at this team and all the holes they do have for situations like what you just said with Davenport, and we haven't even touched on what's going on in the secondary, because you might have Harrison Smith who might be retiring or moving on. You might have not everybody's enamored with Byron Murphy, who was another free agent pickup. There are a lot of holes on this team, to fill a lot and turn around quickly, you either have to have hit on all those drafts in the previous years, which they haven't, or you've got to make a trade and backfill quickly. And I don't know that I want them to do that, but B, you know, I sure as heck don't want them to just have to wait another year to get back. I mean, we were looking at 13-4 last year, hoping to improve, and boy, what a step back this team took.
Yeah, I mean, it's a critical year, and they just have to. I mean, and then you to combine everything else. You know, I'm asking for interior offensive line. They need another edge rusher. They need to sign Daniil. Oh, they need to Murphy, I think, is a free agent. So I don't know if you give him another 1 year prove it deal or whatever. I would assume Harrison Smith, he won't be on this team. He probably will retire. But if Lewis Cine can't step up for at that point, then don't even put him on the roster. Don't even bring him to camp. But in addition to, to all of this, everything else we're asking for, we're like a 5-year-old at Christmas asking for all the things you want. This is the year I feel like they need to come out of the first round with a quarterback. I don't know where they.
And in a way, that's got, when you got potentially Kirk and these other two guys on the roster, that's almost a luxury that you would pick up a quarterback and you have to spend it on, a first-round pick to do it. You'd rather spend it on to build somewhere else, but you also needed to do it. We need to do it at quarterback because we have not done it, behind Kirk for the past how many, 5 or 6 years? They're in a tough position, I tell you.
It's a critical offseason, I would say.
You're gonna go on record with that part?
I'm not gonna pretend I have all the answers, but someone better have the answers, otherwise they're gonna be sitting on a podcast with us next year or two or three years.
All right, I'll just reiterate this one before we go to break. Are they gonna trade Justin Jefferson, sign him and trade him?
I don't think so. No. I think their value, they're what they have going for them now is they do have talent like that. I just don't see giving that up, especially for you'll get some draft picks. You don't know if you're going to hit it. I object to give up Justin Jefferson and end up getting Troy Williamson, like's happened in the past in Vikings history. Give up Randy Moss and go, okay, well, we got rid of that cancer. Here's a fast guy we're going to take 7th overall. Oh, he can't play. So, I don't think they'll trade Justin Jefferson.
Who was making that pick, for crying out loud? Holy buckets. If they traded Justin Jefferson and failed with that trade, I'd have a hard time teeing up this podcast next year. I love to watch the passing game, and this guy is a generational player. And he just, what you saw from him in the last few games was, what he's been doing forever. And he just makes it different for other teams out there. He suddenly can make it good for Hawkinson and Addison. I mean, you need this guy.
Not only talented, but he makes people around him better. And that's what you want out of a big-time player.
So how do teams like Kansas City with Mahomes and Kelce, and they probably got some other players they got to pay. I know they had to get rid of Tariq Hill, but still, they keep coming back. And they've complained about him all year. They don't have any receivers to throw to, but here they are in the second round of the playoffs.
Well, but yeah, this year they are. Last year – they got away with it because they brought in two receivers, but I think then those receivers moved on. They stretched the limit on the testing, the theory that you can do it, keep doing it year after year after year, and I think they probably will get knocked out of the playoffs here. This is the most vulnerable they've been in the Andy Reid, Mahomes era. But Tyreek Hill, they just from a cap standpoint, they couldn't afford it. But they got a heck of a windfall for him. Now he's also helped, you know, made it good for Miami, because at his age, he's gone on and gotten two more All Pros. I think, you know, both sides, like the Chiefs proved that you can win the Super Bowl without him, but then Tyreek Hill proved that he's not at the end of his career. He's got some juice left, and he was All Pro this year. I think he was All Pro last year. Wow. Still one of the better players in the league, but I don't see him trading Justin Jefferson. I just think that, you know, right now you're counting on players like him making people better, and to get rid of him, just like, you know, Addison's not going to be able to fill his shoes.
No, he's not. And that's great. That's just what I want to hear. That's what I want. I want to watch him for his whole career here. I've already lost out on Moss, so I don't need it to happen again. So on that note, Mark teased our next segment talking about some of the other teams in the playoffs. So we're going to do that next segment. So come on back to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. Okay, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. I'm Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, we saw the playoffs this weekend, and there are some surprises out there. You know, you and I have, and we'll get into our prediction segment, we, you know, have talked about how difficult it is predicting in the NFL. Every talking head on Fox, all seven of them picked the Dallas Cowboys over the Packers, and they were 7-point favorites. So even Vegas was in their favor, and the Packers came in and cleaned their clock, and it wasn't even close. My chiropractor is a Packers fan. He was saying, I don't have much hope for this game. I said, well, there's always a little bit of choke in Dallas. And boy, there was a lot of bit of choke in Dallas in that game, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I was going to say that you haven't seen a team like choke like that since the Packers were choking in some of their early round games with Mike McCarthy.
That's right. That's right.
Watching Jerry Jones, I mean, I don't know. Mike McCarthy survives this. We're doing this on Tuesday. He could be gone, you know, this week. Marty Schottenheimer 1 year went 14-2 with the Chargers and was fired because he lost opening round. I think that's the Patriots. One of the years the Patriots, you know, had a average regular season and got better at the end of the year. He got fired. That has a feel to it. It's almost like if you can do what they did, 8 straight home wins, you're rolling at home. You've won 16 in a row at home. And you put up that performance, it's like, how do you come back from that? You know, I was, you know, joking with on Twitter throughout that game about, and even had the Star Tribune, the person running the website, tweet. In case you're curious, here's Mark's picks as the Cowboys are getting hammered. So I said, wow, thanks, guys. I mean, I had them going to the Super Bowl, so winning the Super Bowl, so. My prediction in the last segment about Justin Jefferson not getting traded, check your watch. Justin's probably getting traded. Justin just got traded to the Packers, I would say.
Nice.
So, yeah. But
did we get love for him?
Yeah, you got nothing for him. To me, it was set up. And like to watch Jerry Jones say, this is the most surprising thing I've had since I've been involved in sports. You know, he could be right. He could be just not, you know, exaggerating, because the reason I picked them to win the Super Bowl was I figured they would have two home games to ramp up, to get the momentum going, go into San Francisco where they're supposedly would be pissed off from the losing last year. And then you just got to pull that upset there. You had the defense to put pressure on Purdy, and then you're there. And then once you get there, you know, you're on house money. But I'm doing all of this thinking, ignoring the fact that what you said, there is, you know, some choke in the Cowboys and they're in Dak Prescott. A lot of conversations we have about Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott could be right with him. And every time you rank quarterbacks, I always feel those two are connected. You know, they're good. They're maybe top 10, but they're 10A, 10B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was getting all this MVP talk, and I don't know where your votes came in, but Dak Prescott was getting a lot of steam for the MVP, and had the voters had another week to look at him. I mean, it's not like, I guess he did. He had two pick sixes, you know, two picks that hurt him in that game. Is that right? He was
all the pick six. I don't know if that, you know, all the pick sixes. You know, it seems like it was. There's a lot of pick sixes, Joe.
Oh, yeah. They had some in another game this weekend, Mark. What happened to the Brownies? Your favorite squad out there in Cleveland. I both you and I picked them to win, my pick for the coach of the year, his team manhandled the Browns down in Houston. What that was, that had to have been a shock to you as it was to everybody else.
Well, it was, and it got away from them, you know, so quickly that, I mean, they were clearly not the better. They weren't even close to being the better team. The difference for me was C.J. Stroud, I thought, would be rattled in his first playoff game. Even though he's at home, I thought the Browns defense would be able to put pressure on him.
Right.
They didn't put pressure on him. The kid is probably, well, he's the most polished rookie quarterback. I mean, people say Andrew Luck maybe, but I'll put this guy as the most polished rookie quarterback I've ever seen. And he's a veteran. I mean, he plays like a veteran. He throws like a veteran. He sees the field like a veteran, and they couldn't rattle him. And adding, you know, if the Cowboys pick wasn't bad enough, which is – it always sucks to lose your Super Bowl pick in the first week. But I think I wrote that, you know, the difference between Flacco and Stroud, you know, Stroud will be the first one to crack. And wow, missed that one. Yeah. You know, he throws, you know, right before halftime, I'm thinking, okay, just don't let him score before half or let him have a field goal. Well, he throws this beautiful long pass right on the money, and they score a touchdown. They go up by 10 at the half. And I believe the defense might have held him. Coming out, but then Flacco threw the pick six, and then it imploded within about a couple minutes. Kevin Stefanski, either one of those guys would, you know, I voted for Stefanski for coach of the year because of starting four quarterbacks. But in saying that, the other guy did this with a rookie, and their offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, we have to vote for three. You know, rank them in order of the assistant coaches of the year. You know, Slowick was in my top three because he did a fantastic job. You look at the difference between like Bryce Young in Carolina, and then this guy in Houston. A big difference of that was Bobby Slowick and what he was able to do. I mean, there's a little more talent on the offensive line in Houston, but that offensive coordinator did a hell of a job, and they really had the answers for the Browns. And
how do you think that vote will come out, Mark, for coach of the year? I mean, D'Amico Ryans, I mean, probably early in the season he wasn't on any radars, but as the things went along, he must have picked up some steam, and he's doing what he did as a rookie coach. So, and Stefanski, Stefanski got it rookie or head coach of the year as a rookie, didn't he? A couple of years ago,
because I mean, it was, you know, and lost in all this, you know, Dan Campbell, look what Dan Campbell does with you know, at one point, I my argument with not having Dan Campbell above them was, hey, you know, look what Stefanski did in his division, which is the best division in football, the AFC North. And I said, you know, what Campbell did in Cleveland in the AFC North, to me, didn't compare to what Campbell did in the NFC North, didn't compare to that. But now half the NFC North is in the final.
Yeah.
In the final four of the conference. So, you know, the NFC North had a little more punch than you think. So, you know, he's another guy that, you know, could get it, but yeah.
And Dan Campbell, the guy who used to play for the Bountygate team down in New Orleans and now has a defensive back that's ending tight ends careers. That Dan Campbell,
the very tough Dan Campbell, very gritty, tough. Dan's not talking about how we're going to scheme you. Dan's talking about how he's going to punch you in the face. How are we going to win this scheme? And how are we going to, like, design this play to fool this? No, they just line up.
Do you think this guy should be fined or punished in some way? And after taking two tight ends knees out from him the hits are legal. I get that. But either change the freaking rule or somebody get to this guy, because, you know, that seems really unfair to tight ends, because they're so much bigger than these guys. And if they're going to go down at their legs and take them out and then take out their knees and wreck their careers.
I don't know what the answer is for, you know, frankly, they've legislated the defense to the point where I don't know how they play the game. You know, if you hit them high, you're in trouble. If you hit them low, you're in trouble. And the Buffalo Wild Wings, come as surprise, the NFL even let a commercial like that get out. It was when he's sitting there talking to the Buffalo and he said, what happens if they hit him low? That's roughing the passer. What happens if you hit him high? Roughing the passer. It's so, you know, it is, you know, where do you hit a guy? You hit him in the, if you come up and you hit him like in the chest area, you're going to get run over. So yep. I don't know what the answer is.
It is. It's a tough call. I don't know what way to do because, you know, yeah, that's why they're going low because it's easier to hit the legs than it is a torso that's twice as big as you are.
I must have been nodding during this one this week, but I, you know, on TJ, I don't believe there was any intent to hurt TJ in that.
Right.
He's making a tackle.
Yeah, and it's the same thing, but it just so happens that's the same guy. And maybe someone just talked to him and just, I don't know. But you can, like I just did, trace the lineage back to the Saints and make a conspiracy theory that it's all on purpose, but I'm not sure that it is. That game was important to fans here as well. Best game of the weekend as far as competitiveness, I thought. The Rams beating the getting beat by the Lions. Fans are fans, but I was a little annoyed by the fans booing Matt Stafford when he came back there, you know, and he certainly is. I mean, his post-game comments, he was not too pleased, but said he was happy for the players, but that's about it. You know, the guy gives his heart and soul to the Lions for 12 years, and he comes back, and I know he's on the other team, but you don't have to, you know, you don't have to do a standing O, but, you know, booing him,
you know darn well if Minnesotans would have booed him too. I mean, that's just
they booed, you know, they booed their own guys.
I didn't even really notice. I just so you know, especially in you had so long with the Patriots, and every year the Patriots marched in and they, you know, win a Super Bowl, or they're, you know, to see a team that's gone 32 years without winning a game, a playoff game, and 30 years without a division. I thought it was really cool to watch Detroit come alive and, you know, just booing him probably. But I do believe, you know, when he got traded, it's a trade that's going to work out for both sides. Whether the Lions win the Super Bowl, you know, look at what they've gotten out of that trade and where they're at and where they are normally at. I don't think that they have to win a Super Bowl in order for that to be a win-win trade. But I think before all that took place, he had asked out of Detroit, and that never sits
well. Hockenson did?
No, Stafford.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, no, you absolutely. I think he asked, people call it forcing a trade, but yeah, he must have asked out of there. I suppose that's why there's a little bit of animus. I get that.
But, you know, to me, he gave more than heart and soul. He probably gave his body too. Because
sure did.
He's not going to be walking. He probably won't. He's going to be hurting when he's 50 years old. Let's put it that way.
KC freezes out Miami. It was a predictable and boring game. The only question I have is, what do you think about the old Peacock streaming kerfuffle that's gone on? You know, they put the one game of the playoffs that have always used to been available to everybody, they put one game on Peacock and made most of these folks who don't have Peacock or have all the other channels where the NFL streams, but they didn't have that, and made them pay $6 to watch the game. It, you know, $6 is not that big a deal, but it's like, NFL, don't you have enough money? And B, If you do this, if you go get that game, you pay for that game, which millions did, they're just going to do it again.
Oh, yeah, they'll keep doing it, sure. I mean, they've already, with Amazon, I mean, I happen to have Amazon at the time. For some reason, for me, Amazon is the worst streamed, and I've sent out things on Twitter, like, you know, what's going on. People have sent me back different things to try, but that's always, like, the worst screen and everything. Peacock seemed to be fine for me. I don't know. I see this as that's just the way the world is. I paid the $6. If the NFL is going to keep doing it, the NBA did it for a Cavs game that I wanted to watch one time, mm-hmm. and I decided I'm not going to do that. So you got to make your own choice. And yeah, it's coming. There's going to be more and more of it. Frankly, you know, a la carte doesn't sound too bad. Like I would like to have some options with, like, I have Hulu, and I don't have a lot of this strong desire to watch much of the Twins or the Timberwolves or the Wild. But if I did, yeah, I'd like to just pay for that, as opposed to, like, say, you know, Twitter and Bally's or whatever they call themselves now, you know, having this where you can't, a big population can't see the games. But yeah, it's, people are going to complain, and but what they're going to do, complain, moan, bitch, and then pay the $6 and you know, and then the NFL is just like, okay, well, we don't really mind. Well, we'll say some nice things that make you feel good, but we really don't care that you're upset, you know, as long as you pay.
Mark, the Wolves have the best record in the Western Conference. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Come on, man. Be a Minnesotan. How long you been living here? Come on.
Tell Hulu. Tell Hulu. I don't know. The NBA at this time of year.
It's on Bally. I had to pick him up. Like, you know, I usually pick up Bally after the NFL season starts to wind or the Vikings are done, and watch the Wolves in the Wild. And then the baseball is a whole different thing. And I'm not around for that many games. I let it go until it comes around next season. I don't mind that, but it's kind of a pain in the ass. Used to get it all for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
this time of year in the NBA, well,
anyway, Steelers, Bills, Bucks, Eagles, Steelers, Bills out, you know, you and I were kind of chastising these storied all weather cities of Pittsburgh and Buffalo postponing a game a day. And I was ready to give them some grief here, being from Minnesota, where it's been very cold this last week. But when I heard 40 inches of snow, I said, okay, yeah. That's okay. I don't mind that have been a little untenable to play that game. Would have been fun to watch, but it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, there was a game in Philadelphia that was a 7-0. Might have been a championship game, like in the late 40s, that they played. And I think there might be like some video of it, early video. Yeah, it would have been memorable to watch if they would have played that game. But I saw some of the clips of what the wind would have been like, and that would have played, you know, Steelers would have had a better chance to win. Just talking about the outcome of that game, you know, the Bills are rolling. They won, like, I think five, six in a row to get into the playoffs. They finally get the Chiefs at home. You know, they're rolling. But, you know, what Mike Tomlin did, you know, getting Mason Rudolph in there and winning those last, you know, and this is why, and I joked about this on Twitter, was where they pull these numbers. Like ESPN, I believe, had after week 15, the Steelers had a 4% chance of making the playoffs. It's like, have we not watched this league enough to, like, to not, these percentages are, first of all, they're just, I think they're totally random. I don't know where they come from.
Yeah.
You know, the league has done this so many times where it's something, oh, this will never happen. It happens. So, you know, Mason Rudolph helping them get in the playoffs. You know, it was a close game. They were down early that they came back, and they did all this without TJ Watt. You know, I think Mike Tomlin should, the fact that the Steelers, I mean, they got more lives than, you know, the guy on Halloween that kept coming back. And it's because of Mike Tomlin. He wills that team. And now we're talking about Mike Tomlin maybe not coming back. So it's, boy, I tell you, you better win when you get a chance, because the patience is getting even less and less.
They only had three coaches in their existence. They had
their existence since 1969.
Yeah, Chuck Knoll, what's his name? Bill Cowher,
and that's and amazing. So before that, you know, the Steelers at one time were the laughing stock of the league in the 30s and 50s, and
yeah.
You know, so they're one of the, you know, I think they came around 33. But yeah, I mean, although this was a year where they fired, this was the first time in, I think, 50 years they fired an assistant in season. They fired their coordinator, yeah. And that was a game between two teams that had fired their offensive coordinators. So the way they've expanded the playoffs and the season, eventually we will see a team that we may see it now with the Cowboys. But you know, you make the playoffs, or you might see it with Mike Tomlin. You're not guaranteed of keeping your job even when you make the playoffs.
That's amazing. Bucks Eagles. I think we're going to find out more that people like Jalen Hurts and others are a little more injured than we know. He had the dislocated thumb a week ago. They lost. They didn't even get to use AJ Brown. But the Bucks just manhandled them. I thought they outplayed them significantly. And Baker Mayfield threw some bad passes, but he threw some great passes. He had a lot of drops. What do you think about that team going forward? And what do you think about the Eagles? Don't they have about as many questions as the Vikings do right now? They just won the Super Bowl a few years.
Yeah, I don't know about the Vikings. Their quarterback, they still have their quarterback. That long term. Yeah, I mean, the Eagles just fell off the face of the earth. I mean, the Eagles, I don't know what their defense. I mean, the plays they were giving up, and then people wide open, and the tackling being atrocious. It looks like they tried to be this bad almost.
Yeah, sure did.
They were 10-1, and granted, they've had some close wins, and they weren't like Baltimore dominant or like that. But they were 10-1, and then they just completely. They went 1-6 or 1-5 after that, and that's a mess. I still wouldn't fire the head coach for it. I would and now Jason Kelce is retired. That's going to be a huge blow to that offensive line.
Did he retire?
He announced his retirement. I think after the game last night.
Okay.
So others will probably follow. I think Lane Johnson. That right tackle, he's still got some play in him, so I hope he doesn't retire for them. But the Bucks are, they were as hot. The Bucks were like 5-1 at the end of the year. Philadelphia was 1-5, so it was just teams meeting going in the opposite directions.
The Bucks really, or the Bills really surprised me. I had fantasy players on that team, and I watched them all year, and it's. Interesting. They looked dead in the water midseason. They made a comeback. And well, that kind of leads us to the prediction segment. Last week, both of us ended up being 500. The only games we differed on were Lions and Rams. I got the Lions and last night's Bucks Eagles, and you took the Bucks. So we ended up tied, no blood. And we had put out a poll on Vikings Territory and Pro PTSD about whose picks do you like better, Mark's or mine? And so I guess as a tiebreaker, Mark wins because the poll said 51.56% liked his picks better than mine.
I think every vote in the country is 50-50, isn't it? That's so really.
Most of them are.
51-49.
Well, I'll make it easy for you this week, Mark. For these games coming into the divisional games here. I'm taking all home teams. Got anything different? That's Bills, Lions, San Francisco, and Baltimore.
Well, so Houston at Baltimore, yep. Right? Yeah, I'm taking Baltimore. Green Bay at San Francisco. We can't make it all. We can't do 4-4, Joe. I mean, come on.
That's why I got in early. I forced you to choose somebody else.
Jeez.
Green Bay could win. What did you
come on? Not this week. I'll take Baltimore, San Francisco,
Lions, and Bucks. That could be a good, really good game. The Bucks I think would have beat the Lions would have beat Philadelphia, but now the Bucks didn't look too bad last night. They looked like a well-rounded team. There's that one for you. And then there's Bills and Chiefs. Which one do you want, Mark?
Yeah, so we're gonna be. This will be boring. I'll take the Bucks. I mean, I think Detroit will win. I want Detroit to win. I'd love to see Detroit keep this story going. I think Buffalo is gonna beat Kansas City. So give me the one difference. I'll take Baker Mayfield to go one more week.
I'm a little concerned about that. I think that's the closest one too. That game could go either way. I'm just the opposite of you. I'm picking the Lions and hoping they'll lose. Someone asked me.
Then give me the Lions. You take the Bucks.
No, I think the Lions are going to win. I think that's the case. So I wonder what, we'll find out what folks, if we do another poll, but there's not much difference here to talk about. Yeah, so we're up for another week of football. I hope it's better. Too many blowouts in this wild card weekend, and that's happens from time to time. You get a 7 versus a 2, whatever. Well, the 7 beat a 2 in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean that Packers, even though it was a blowout, that was like one of the wow, you know. And when it was 27-0, you're still thinking, okay, you know, Dallas is not. I mean, Green Bay's not out of the woods yet. It was still. Right. It held my interest, even though it was clearly going to be the Packers. I was like, what are the Cowboys going to step on it?
And yeah, the highest scoring team in the NFL this year.
Freaking Dallas. I mean, that's every year I have a survivor pick that goes down with Dallas. Now I have a Super Bowl pick that got torpedoed by Dallas.
So are you going to jump on the Baltimore train with me then now that for the your Super Bowl pick? I'll give you another one on this broadcast.
I'm going to give up. I hope Baltimore doesn't win at all, but they look like the obvious choice now. So it looks like obviously the number one seeds. And you look at number one. Talk about quarterbacks. Number one. This is something I wrote about in Saturday's paper. They look at the two quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson is probably going to win the MVP. Third highest paid player in NFL history. Brock Purdy is the 94th highest paid by average quarterback in the league this year. He's 11 spots lower than Jaren Hall, his average.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that's what you want to do. You want to get Brock. You want to get the last pick of the 7th round, pay him, you know, kibbles, give him a few pebbles, and then build a team and then win it, and then you can do whatever you want.
That's probably where the only time that the term Mr. Irrelevant comes into play is when they're sitting down negotiating his contract. Well, you're Mr. Irrelevant. Well, I want a million to know. Sorry, Mr. Irrelevant. Anyway, well, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it each week. Thanks, Mike Woldham, producing for us behind the scenes. Thanks, Joe Johnson, for putting us here. We're always indebted to you. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We sure appreciate it. We'll come back and talk more Vikings and more NFL playoffs next week. So come on back and check us out then. Until that time, thank you and skull.
Skull.